written in your bulletin. Let us pray together. Gracious God, with joy and thanksgiving, we gather as your people. We have come to hear again the timeless story of Christ's birth. In the incitement of this night, quiet our hearts, that we may know the peace and fullness of this holy time. Shine, O light, in the darkness of our world. Sing, O angels, in the stillness of our hearts. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. This we pray in the name of the Child of Bethlehem. Amen. Amen. Please stand and let us be called to worship. May the God of silent nights be with you. Open your hearts to the one born in the little town of Bethlehem. Join all believers in singing our joy to the world. You may be seated. I would like to invite our Advent wreath team to come on forward. Okay.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom God's favor rests. For in the town of David, a Savior has been born to us. He is the hope of the nations, the Prince of Peace, love incarnate, the bringer of joy, and his name is Jesus.
This evening, we light the final candle of our Advent wreath. It is the Christ candle, a symbol of hope for each one of us that our God is Emmanuel, God with us both now and forevermore.
How are we doing? I'm with you. Okay, thanks.
Let us pray. God of light, we give you thanks that you sent your Son, Jesus, into the world so that we might be saved from our sins and be called children of God. Shine your light into the darkness of our own hearts. Heal us, help us, restore us, so that we might know you, love people, and serve the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Today I am reading Isaiah 7, verses 10 through 14. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord on the test." But Isaiah said, "Hear now, you are the house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel."
I will be reading Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 6. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace."
Thank you. A reading from Luke 1, 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hands? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels draw? When you've kissed your little baby, then you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see and the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap and the dumb will speak, the praises of the
He's Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations?
Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? This child you're holding is the great I am.
A reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
I will be reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
Thank you. A reading, Luke 2, 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
I'm reading from Luke 2, 15 through 18. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them.
Thank you. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard that this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent to them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Christmas Eve is the evening where we are reminded that we only know the first verse to most of these Christmas carols, which is a good reminder. Friends, this evening we also celebrate that our God is the Prince of Peace, and we celebrate the coming of the Prince of Peace. And so let us join together this evening in praying for peace. Prince of Peace, we come this evening asking that you might fill us with your peace. In the midst of the busyness and anxieties of life, may your peace that passes understanding guard our hearts and our minds. Lord, in our communities this day, we see and hear and experience the discord and chaos swirling all around us, from politics to economics to race and religion. And so, in the face of all evil and hatred and fear, we pray for peace to descend and to flow like a river. Lord, in our world today, we read and watch of wars and terrorism and acts of violence. And Lord, in the darkest of places, we ask that you would send your light and your peace. On this sacred night, may your peace reign in our hearts, in our homes, and in our world. We ask this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. This evening, I want to share a story with you all. It's good for us to be reminded that when Jesus showed up on the scenes, nobody was expecting him. He showed up in the most unexpected of ways, in the most unexpected of places, to the most unexpected of people. And ever since that first night, Jesus has continued to show up in unexpected places and in the most unexpected of ways. I experienced this when I was a lowly seminary student at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, and I was doing my internship in the south side of Pittsburgh, in the part of Pittsburgh you didn't want to be out late at night by yourself. And I was working with a community of folks, and we were doing a community day in this poor, impoverished neighborhood where the church was. And so we decided that we were going to throw a Christmas lunch for everyone. And so we put out posters and flyers and all the things you do, and we bought all sorts of hats and scarves for these kids and their families. And so the day arrived, and we bought propane heaters because the heat in the church was no longer working, and we opened the doors, and people poured in, and it was beautiful. They ate all the food that we had. I mean, we had sandwiches and chips. The kids picked out all the hats and the scarves. They were so excited to be there, and it was, the church was filled with life. And it was beautiful. And they finally made their way out of there. And the team of us who were left, we took a deep breath after the craziness and chaos of 50 kids running around the church for the first time in who knows how long. And I stepped outside, and it was Pittsburgh, and it was winter, so it was cold, and it was gray. And I was ready to go home because I grew up in the South Pacific where the summer, it feels like summertime at Christmas. And so I got my keys, and I was about to pull my keys out of my pocket and walk to my car, and this lady walks up the steps to the church, and she's wearing a maroon zip-up. She looked like she was out of a 90s music video. And she looked me in the eye with this gaze of incredible desperation, and she said, "Do you have any food here?" And I'm like, "Well, if you'd come an hour ago, we might have had a whole lot for you." But I said, "Come on in, let's see what we can find." And you could see that she was just exhausted. And so she sat down on this frayed couch, the only piece of furniture in the whole place. And we're scouring, and we find this little container of nearly frozen potato salad. And I'm like, "I don't know if you like potato salad, but this is what we got." And so I handed her this tub of potato salad and a fork, and she starts diving into this potato salad like she's never eaten before. Like it's the best food on the face of the planet, and little bits of potato salad are spitting and spewing, and it's all over. She just can't get it fast enough. And as she's talking, she begins to tell us her story. She's been out on the streets for the last month, going from place to place, sleeping on doorsteps, sleeping in bus stops, and she's called everybody she knows, and nobody can help her. So we get our little team of people together, right, and we're going to do something. We start calling shelters, one shelter, two shelter, three shelter, and all of the shelters are full. There is no room in the inn, just like all those years ago in Bethlehem. It's been a number of years since that night when that lady walked in the most unexpected of moments, hungry, tired, cold. But if I close my eyes, I can still see her. I can still see her sitting there on the couch, diving into the potato salad with her little plastic fork. And I see now what I didn't see then. I see the face of Jesus. Jesus sitting on the couch, smiling and chewing potato salad. Jesus finally having somebody listen as they tell their story. Jesus showing up in the most unexpected of places, just like he did all those years ago when he showed up as a little, tiny, squirming, helpless baby. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, a child born to peasant parents who had no idea what in the world they were doing and no idea what in the world they were getting themselves into. And the words of Jesus echo in my head when he said, "As you have done unto the least of these, so you have done unto me." Who knew Jesus likes potato salad? Who knew that Jesus is still with us? Who knew that you could find Jesus in the face of the downcast and the downtrodden, of the refugee family who lives down the street, of the man at the bus stop with the wild hair and the crazy eyes, the mom at the grocery store whose kids are running circles and rings around her, and you can tell all she wants to do is be out of there and be sleeping? Jesus shows up in the most unexpected of places. Your boss, who annoys you to no end. Your uncle, who shows up at Christmas time and drinks all of your booze. The person on Facebook who is incessantly posting political rants, whether they're Democratic or Republican, who just loves to stir the pot. How easy it is to forget that each one of these people carries within them the spark of the divine, the very imprint of the living God. How easy it is to forget that Jesus has 1,000 faces and 1,000 accents and 1,000 stories. This evening we come together to celebrate and to remember the story of that holy night when Jesus was born, when the world first saw the face of its Savior, when the Word became flesh, cradled in the loving arms of a tired teenage mother named Mary, when God became human so that we might know Him and touch Him and see Him and smell Him and understand Him and know that we are loved and we can also love. We remember that night when joy entered the world, when the light of the world came down into the darkness of a cold Bethlehem night. We remember that angels showed up, right? And they filled the sky with light and song and celebration, heaven breaking into reality. Shepherds totally out of their element, gaping in awe, wondering what was going to happen next, amazed at God at work in the world, God inviting them to be a part of what God was doing. It's easy to hear the story and not be amazed. It's easy to hear the story and let it just be a story, right? It's easy to hear the story and say, just get on with it and let's get the milk and the cookies and the presents and all the other fun, festive parts of Christmas. But my hope for us tonight is that we won't just move on, but that we will allow ourselves to be still and to let the story sink in, to be amazed the way the shepherds and Mary and Joseph were amazed on that first night. To be amazed that our God is Emmanuel, God with us. That night when the angels disappeared and the skies grew dark again, the shepherds looked at each other and they said, let's go find this baby. Let's go down to Bethlehem. Let's do it. Let's leave the sheep. Let's go. And so down they went and they wanted to see Jesus and they wanted to hold Him and to touch Him with their own hands. They wanted to know that He was real, that it wasn't just a really good story told by impressive messengers of heaven. And they found Him in the most unexpected of places. Not in a palace fit for a king, but in a stable that smelled and was filled with straw. And they honored Him and they treated Him with dignity and respect befitting the Son of God. Friends, if you fly to Israel, you can take a bus to Bethlehem and you can find the very spot where Jesus lay all those nights ago. And there's a church, of course, that they built up over it. But what you won't find is you won't find Jesus in the manger because He's not there. But it doesn't mean He's gone. Rather, it means that He's waiting to be found. He's waiting to be found in the most unexpected of places, in the unexpected faces in the world around us, in the wrinkled face of an aging parent, in the gleeful smile of a child dressed in a cow costume and mooing on stage for all the world to hear in a Christmas pageant. This Christmas season, may we have eyes to see Jesus all around us, in those that we love easily, in those we struggle to love, and in those who we have yet to even know. May we be filled with compassion for them as God has been filled with compassion for each one of us. And may we be filled with joy and boldness as we look and listen and love. May we see in others the very face of Jesus. Jesus is waiting to be discovered, friends. So stock up on potato salad, because Jesus likes potato salad. Before I invite the ushers to come forward this evening, I want you all to know that all of the money that will be collected this evening does not go to Wrightsville Presbyterian Church. It will be going to the Presbyterian Disaster Agency, and they help all over the world with people who find themselves in incredibly difficult situation. So know that the money that you give this evening will go all over the world to help those in need, the faces of Jesus that are desperately, desperately in need around the world. So let me invite the ushers to come forward as we partake of our offering. Let me invite the ushers to come forward, and we'll bless our offering. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you are the giver of all good things, and this evening we remember your greatest gift to us, which is Jesus. And so we give you back these tithes and offerings, and we ask that you would take them and bless them and multiply them and use them for the sake of your name so that all people might know that they are deeply loved by you. We ask this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you. Our final reading this evening comes from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And he was in the world, and the world came into being through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Word of the Lord. This evening, as we light the candles, we're going to sing Silent Night. And I want to invite the ushers to come forward as we do so. May the lights that we hold in our hands remind us of the light of Christ that came into the world.
Thank you.
Let me invite you to stand. As you hold your lights up, may this light remind you and fill you with the light of Christ. And at your leisure, you are invited to blow out your candle, and we're going to sing our closing hymn, which is Joy to the World, and we're going to leave here in abundant joy, but that means you have to sing joyfully, all right? So let's fill this place with music and sound, the light of Christ in each one of us. Amen.
The Lord.
Friends, as you go forth, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and have a very Merry Christmas. You are dismissed.